Blog Talk Radio.
Take away.
just gives me the chills when she's singing that song about our children. They're our future. Let's teach them well and let them lead the way. Good evening, everyone. It's your guy, Baba Wetafa, Brother Michael Washington right here in Oklahoma City. Yes, it's that time again. Yep, yep, yep. And welcome to People Power Radio, where I am the host with the most. Again, we want to thank you all for tuning in tonight, and I want to give special thanks to my always talented and very wise Sister Mayotte right here from Oklahoma City alongside of me, who is also the local chairperson of the Fred Hampton Gun Club. So again, we give you a shout-out to you, Sister Mayotte. And again, we're both from Oklahoma City. We're glad you all could join us tonight, and guess what? We are going to have a very interesting broadcast tonight. That's right. We're going to be discussing a very important factor in our everyday lives as for the African-American community. We want to know, is the black family becoming extinct? Are we vanishing? Or what the real problem is? We have some special guests on tonight. We're going to have Brother, a great friend of mine from Oklahoma City. He is an adjunct professor at the University of Central Oklahoma, a great friend of mine, Dr. Paul Lehman. He's also the author of three books that he's written on African-American culture. So, again, I did have to call him up. All I had to do is say, hey, brother, I need you to be on the show tonight. And he gave me the thumbs up, so we'll be looking for him later on tonight. He's not with us just yet. So, again, y'all, it's always a great pleasure as well to have our other co-host today, as always, Brother James Price, and, of course, our sister, Tamiko. And she has a definitely great connection to the democracy and take back our properties, communities right there in Detroit, Michigan. And we're going to have her on the show to do her live show this coming Thursday. So we all want you all to tune in as well. This is your show. I am simply the host with the most. This is your show where your ideas, your thoughts, and everything else that goes along with it counts. So again, let us all think about that and see where we can go in our future. We want to talk a little bit again tonight about where and why is the African-American community becoming extinct. And what I would like to do is to speak a little bit, first of all, about why we're here tonight. And then, as y'all know I always do, we're going to give the floor over to you, the audience, and you can just tell us what's on your mind. But we want you to know on this show, you don't have to pretend with us. If you don't like what Michael Washington is saying, just tell him to shut up. Well, maybe not that far, but just tell me about it. I mean, I'm not going to be mad at you because if you say we need to eat hamburgers tonight and I say, hold up, man, I wanted potato chips. I mean, it doesn't matter. The point of the matter is getting our point across because everybody's not going to think the same way or see things exactly the same light, okay? So let's understand it. So this is the show where we're not going to hold any personal feelings or grudges against you. If you know more about a subject than me, guess what? When you teach me, you won't know more about it anymore, you see? So that's how I look at it. Let me take a little bit of time here, y'all, and get a little bit on our topic tonight. And, again, we're going to throw the floor open to y'all. And when Brother Lehman pops in, we're going to give him the floor and let him tell us a little bit about the history of it because, again, he is a history professor, okay? He's not just somebody who woke up last night. So he's written several books on our black history, our culture, the language, and everything else that goes along with it. Again, we've been at each other's table eating on many occasions. So let me start off. To begin with, y'all, there is no question in my mind, as far as my individual concept, of the trauma we experience as African Americans in our Western Hemisphere, it's no question to me that we have to link poverty as one of the causing or major factors in our families being separated and in our family structure being destroyed as we see it today. I remember y'all growing up in the 1960s where the family homes were headed by the mother and the father, okay? And if you did something wrong down the street, you didn't have to worry about whether your mom or dad is going to get to you because when they got to whooping you, the mom and dad and the other family is going to whoop you as well. I'm saying this to say, y'all, everything now is in the reverse. Let's take, for example, 60% of all families in the United States is headed by a single parent. 1 in 3 black kids do not know who their father is. Many were born out of wedlock. In 1965, the wedlock rate was 25% among black families. Listen carefully, y'all. However, in 1991, that rate skyrocketed to 68%. Can you believe that, y'all? But now I'm not through. And in 2011, it reached a staggering high of 72% of families where children were born out of wedlock. So now that's telling me, y'all, that there's a very frightening, scary reality here that we must try to embrace and correct. Okay? So simply what that means is that 72% of families are illegitimate as far as the statistical purposes are concerned. Let's just put it that way, as far as the political spectrum of family, defining family unit. Okay? Bear with me, y'all. Again, we're going to let you speak. In 1910, U.S. Census manuscript, white women compared to black women were more likely to become pregnant as teenage mothers, and guess what? Stay single, which more than likely and very perceptively signaled that there were going to be single parent home where the mother was the father and dad herself. Okay? Now, y'all, I want y'all to listen to me carefully because I'm going to give y'all the floor. But I'd like to just get my little two cents in right quick because, as y'all know, I like to be quiet and let the others speak. But the breakdown, listen carefully, y'all. The breakdown of the family was first brought to the national attention in 1965 by then Democratic Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, okay? And he detailed his findings in a report, if y'all want to take your pencils down, it's called the Moynihan Report, The Negro Family, The Case for National Attention. Okay, now listen at that. So he saw in 1965 that there were a crisis going on in the black community, which flipped over, which all the way up to 1965, with black family units, we had the father and mother in the home. But he detailed it way back then that there was a serious crisis developing. All right? He defined it as a socioeconomic dilemma, and yet our simply family structure has a history that goes further back into the 1880s, y'all. That's right, you heard me. It goes further back into the 1880s. All right? Now, let me pause right there for a minute and get a few comments from our co-host, Sister Mayette, from right in Oklahoma City again. Sister Mayette, how are you doing? And tell me what you thought about what you heard so far tonight. Uh-oh, I better put on the mic. I got a mic off. I mean, I just started out, y'all, so give me just a second. We're going to get on in just a minute, and maybe I think I can get it right now. Come on, Sister Mayette, I'm sorry I had y'all. Come on, talk to me. What's going on?
For me, I've kind of dug into history of the family. Yes, I am a psychology major. I have not completed, fully out there yet. I'm still working on it, but just being in that, you know, being able to define what they define a family is and what, you know, all the structure should look like, I feel like the black community is being robbed of that. And reason why I say that is because, you know, they, you know, don't provide us the necessities we need to grow as a community. They try to suffocate, meaning lock our, you know, wrongfully incarcerate, extensive sentencing of our men and our women, which will take away from our homes. You know what I mean? One or both of the parents is incarcerated. You know, one or both of the parents is addicted to whatever type of medication or drug or anything like that because of what they have done, and they have flooded certain things in our community to hinder our growth. So there is a staggering rate of single-parent homes, even among people that I know, they're single-parent mothers and single-parent fathers. And it's alarming to see that because we, you know, truly want to see our community go back to the way it was before I was born, you know, around my father's time, you know, where it was present a father and a mother in the home to nurture, you know, the children you know, thrive as a family unit. So at some point, I hope that we get back to our roots with that and see how essential it is for us to build each other up. So, yeah, that's my comment or two cents on it.
All right, thank you for that. But now, you know what, you're absolutely on point. But we have to also look at, Sister May, what you just even touched on it a while ago. You have to realize, too, that the majority of our men are incarcerated, they're dead, they're homosexual, they're on drugs, in gangs, and things of this nature. And believe it or not, y'all, and we're getting ready to get another guest here, believe it or not, I took a survey before the show tonight. I just walked on the street, just some of the young people that I know, pulled them up. I said, hey, man, how many of you brothers today, I had about three or four of them, how many of you brothers today got children? I said, raise your hands up. All four of them did. I say, now, keeping it real, y'all know who I am. I'm Michael Washington right here. I'm a community activist. Yeah, everybody know me. Yeah, brother, we know. I say, now, still keeping it real, and if y'all respect me, I want to know how many of y'all are actually taking care of your children as if you want somebody to take care of you. Guess what, y'all? Neither one of them's hand was raised.
Wow.
4 out of 4, not 3 out of 4. And I said to myself, hey, guys, wait a minute. Now, y'all procreated this child. I mean, what are y'all doing for it? Oh, man, one tell me, oh, man, You man, I mean, hell, it's all about sex with me. I mean, everybody wants sex and all this here and this, that, and other. And I'm saying to myself, brother, man, I understand that. But did you all realize that you are making an active effort toward ensuring that when that child grows up in a single-parent home, he's going to be incredibly upset at you, don't want to do anything with you, mad. And one other brother said, oh, well, man, I mean, it's all about me in the street. So, having said that, y'all, I'm not finished yet, but I'm getting ready to come back to that. That's why then I raised up and asked one little sister, again, just happened to, because everybody know I'm on the east side. I mean, I can just about stop and pull up on anybody. I asked a little sister. She said, man, look here, brother. I don't give a doggone if I have a man or not. I got 2 kids by a guy. He's in prison. I don't care about him. He don't care about me. And we're going to continue to make it as a family. And I said to myself, sister, that's a horrible reality. In fact, mm-hmm. I'm hurt, deeply saddened by your reality. Brother James, you in car. Talk to me, man. I mean, what's up on what you just heard me talk about, man? Brother James, I can hear me.
Yeah, this is definitely traumatic. I mean, we are dealing with a long suffering. I mean, traumas that our families have dealt with for generations. So this is the accumulation of that effect. I mean, we've been attacked independently, but yet collectively. You know, everybody mm-hmm. has experienced this brutality. You know, nobody's been able to escape. No one in our community has been able to escape. And it's repeating uh-huh. itself. And it's compoundingly getting worse. So we have to call a timeout. We're going to have to do something different than what we've been doing. But as long as we keep doing what we've been doing, we're going to keep getting what we've been getting. And that's no way to go. We're losing. So we're going to have to definitely call a huddle, call a timeout, and figure out a new game plan because what we've been doing ain't working. So we definitely got to restructure things. We got to understand how things actually go instead of what we've been led to believe. You know, we've been misled. We've been misinformed. Uh-huh. Our leaders have failed us, but have succeeded in misleading us. So those who should know don't know, or they do know, but yet they aren't leading us. They're holding us back more so. You know, I refuse to believe that all these intelligent brothers and sisters who went to college for years and who have studied law don't understand human rights. I refuse to accept that, especially after uh-huh. Malcolm X and Martin Luther King died and spoke about it before they died. Yes, that was a telltale sign of where we should be looking. But it's obviously treachery going on. We've been sold out by our so-called talented 10th who know the truth but too cowardly to stand for the truth. They don't want to lose their little degrees, their little funding they get from their whatever paper factory, you know, sent them out. So they really do us no good. They betrayed us. Those uh-huh. who should be our formal advocates are quiet. They're sitting there getting paid while we get slayed.
You hear it, Jeremy?
Uh-huh. So we have to understand what we're dealing with and have to regroup because we have two schools of thought we're dealing with. We have those who are integrationists and those who are not. We have a school of thought who didn't think it was a good idea for us to be governed by our historical enemies. And
okay. There's
still a group of us who think that way. That's what's going to really establish the foundation for prosperity, is for us to stop allowing people to impoverish us. That's first. So we're going to have to come to an understanding of what's going on here, and that we right now are our own worst enemies. It's not even them. It's the fact that we haven't done what we should do as men and as women, and that's govern ourselves. So until we get that part down, Pat, nothing's going to help us. Ain't no reconstruction, no reform, none of that. If we're not willing to be men and women to stand up and govern ourselves and take care of each other and our houses and our communities, nobody can do that for us. Nobody's going to do that for us. And that's why nobody has done it for us, because it's our job. We need our men and our women to be leaders and start leading instead of sitting around looking for somebody else to do for us what we should be doing for ourselves.
That's right. Didn't you hear me just say with them brothers? I got them four youngsters, 18 to 27, on the street. Four of them, you know how people hang out on the corner. Everybody know me. I went just pulled up on them. Wasn't no surprise. Nobody reached for a weapon or anything because they knew who I was. And, again, look what you just said. I just told you. Four young men, black men, right here on the northeast side of Oklahoma City, stated to me nonchalantly, oh, well, to hell with that. Man, it's all about me out here. I'm trying to watch out for my interests. Watch this. Now, this also coincides, I think y'all know about it, a month ago, we talked to Sister Tamiko, and she was talking about the government's involvement in separating our children from our families as well. Now, y'all have to realize, too, this is part of vanishing tree, too, because when you take the children out of the home and cohabitate them with someone else without, outside their culture, and even if they were in their culture, you have to realize that you're breaking up the family structure. So in and of itself, y'all listen to me carefully, it is a big game going on to where these people are separating our family unit, because it has to start with the children as it had in slavery days. You know, after the male got old enough, he was sold down the river to Mississippi, Georgia, New Orleans, places like that, by the slave master. Yeah, listen carefully, y'all. I'm trying to put a pattern of conduct here to show you that this blatant separation of family didn't just start here in the 2000s or 1965. It was already perpetrated in motion by the white powers that be, the white criminals, the eugenics, who themselves trained us on the slave plantation and, as a matter of fact, used their threat of death and separation as a way to control us, y'all. Now, I don't know if this is Sister Tamiko's line or not, but, again, I think I remember the 937 number. But if that is you, Sister Tamiko, tell me a little bit about that situation with the CPS you were telling me about the family structure. They just come in and just broke in the door or whatever and just took this man's children, woman's children from them, and as part of the government structure. So I'm telling y'all, go ahead, Sister Tamiko, are you on?
This is she. Thank you, and greetings to everyone. Salute and greetings to everyone.
Greetings.
Well, that same structure, like you speak of, it didn't just start in the 60s or the 50s. It started right when the invasion of Romans and Europeans came to invade our natural habitat and places of territory where we were at. And we were already here on every earth, every corner of the earth. We were already here. Everyone's not from Africa. Many of them are. Our descendants from Africa was put on the ships. Many of them are, but many of them weren't also. Because before Europeans and Arabs and Romans came about, we were already in every four corner of the earth. Here in the Americas also are where we the original aboriginal indigenous people. So they came and tricked us into a treaty that they never had no intention of honoring and respecting. So when they tricked us into this treaty, they stole from us. They stole our culture, our spirituality. They stole our land, and they stole our children.
And you see, you right about that. go ahead.
And that's a plan that has continued on in every generation to date. So what they do is they redesign it. every few generations. They redesign this same plan and come up with a new modernized way to double talk and make people believe that they're doing something good for them when it really, in fact, it turns out to be bad for us.
Whoa, ooh, okay. Well, now you said a mouthful then.
The vaccines, you know, say for instance, the polio vaccine, where it was supposed to keep prevent death and prevent paralysis and so forth and so on. Well, many people turned out with cancer after the polio vaccine. So how is that good much better than death, you know, to slowly die of cancer? And, you know,
we're
going to
take a break, y'all, right quick. I'm waving at me, and I'll be right back. We're going to come back with you, sister, and let you say a few more words on that topic. And then, y'all, we're going to, before I go, brother Jeremy, are you online? Brother, I just want everybody to know you're here with us, and just give a shout-out if you would.
Yes, sir, I'm here, brother. I'm very inspired by everybody.
All right. We'll be back. We're going to let you speak a little bit as well. And we got more hosts and more people tonight. So let me see, y'all. We're going to talk about family reunion, and I'm going to be right back because this is, I consider, a family reunion. Y'all stay with me. Are the OJs. Family reunion, man, starting tonight, tomorrow night, night after that, 365 days of the year, 7 days a week, we're going to talk about a family reunion. But in order to talk about a family reunion, y'all, we got to talk about vanishing black families that appear to be vanishing on the face of the earth. Now, a lot of people don't say much about our black daughters and children who are missing, I mean, hundreds of thousands a year, never found again. The family are distraught. Having to prepare for funerals and things. So I want to talk a little bit about what we need to do to bring our family structure back up to modern-day status. Now, when I left, I was talking to Sister Tamiko. Sister Tamiko, take a couple more minutes here to finish the thought that you want to have, and then we're going to bring somebody else in. Go ahead on.
Oh, yeah, I kind of strayed away from the topic. However, it all ties in, you know, with different strategies that they come up with to break apart our family structure. And, you know, inoculation is one of them, you know.
Okay.
So, however, with CPS, all across America and abroad, the youth is being torn away from their mothers and fathers. And then the fathers are being taken away from their family through tyranny, through terrorism, through police brutality, through entrapment, through poverty. Poverty itself is the mother of all crime. So when a man has to figure out a way to feed his family and then has to end up being faced in a jury that's not his peers, and then be tried and convicted of that same jury, then what are we left but with a broken family?
Oh, okay.
And a mother that has to be the father and the mother.
Amen.
And sometimes it's the family is so broken where it's taking the mother and the father, and one of the older children have to take care of the rest of the siblings.
Oh, man. You are right. So right about that.
Turn out to resist an older sibling having to be the mother and the father. I watched it on a court TV show the other day where a sibling raised her sibling, and she was resented because, for what? I don't know. I didn't see it. She didn't appreciate what her older sister had to do because her mother and father wasn't there. She was in resentment. And it was so sad to see that. And at the same time, they're both doing well for each other, fortunately. It's just that they didn't have that bond with each other, the sibling bond that they would have had if their mother and father was there.
All right. All right. Let me come back to you in just a bit. I'm going to go back to Sister Mayotte here in a second. But before I do, I want to recognize Brother Jeremy. Brother and Jeremy and I, we've been kicking it for a pretty good while. Brother Jeremy's up there in Denver, Colorado. He's in the correctional facility up there. He don't mind me saying it because this is the purpose of getting it out there. But I've been a fighter, a revolutionary for him for several months now. And Brother, tell us a little bit about your situation, what you think about this black family unit being destroyed. I mean, obviously, you're a parent, right? I mean, you've been how many years away from your son? I mean, let's use you as an example. Come on, talk to me. You hear me, Jeremy? Are you on there, Jeremy? If not, we'll go to, who is this 212 number? And then y'all, like I said, we'll
same question all the time. You know it's an angry activist.
Hey, I like messing with the angry activist because I know you're going to shake it up for us. Come on, talk to me. What's going on? What are you listening to tonight? Tell me what you heard about.
You need shake up, black people, black alive 365, to God be the glory. Remember, we are free at last, and it's a glorious day, and it's a great time to be alive in the 21st century civil rights movement. I want to say that we got a lot of problems, but we black people are our own black problem. We got this black on black case going on, black people getting paid to just world on each other. It's cool to act a fool. Black people don't got no respect for each other unless they got something
to
do with different categories. So the black church is gone. God is out of everything. So remember, G-O-D, God over devil. So black folks feel so blessed. They all blessed, got all these plaques on their damn cars and going to these mega churches as if that means anything. That don't mean nothing to God. He don't care about what church you go to. All you is a whole sinner trying to perpetrate a fraud. Black folks, we need to be praising God for being free in America, KKK, okay? Because them career Confederates, they trying to rise again. Black people got so many problems because we brought it on ourselves. See, the generation in the 20th century, they fought to eliminate these problems, but we brought these on ourselves. Political poverty, allowing these political fools to play a Ponzi scam on us, keeping us from our jobs, our rights, our vote, our housing. This is what's creating post-traumatic political police and prison stress disorder. Got black men being acting like they don't know what to do out here. Stand up, black man. Thank God that you are truly free. You want to improve.
Amen. Okay. All right. Now, but like you said, a good point. But let me go back just a little bit of taste here what Sister Tamiko was saying, and then we're going to get Brother Jeremy. And then, but don't you go away, because you're definitely going to speak on some more. But if you look at it today, y'all, black men, for the most part, have been reared toward going to juvenile centers, migrating to jail and prisons. Let's not forget that. Not only that, but you're right, sister, that we are in large part responsible for our own demise, our destruction in our black communities, because when you turn yourself on God, turn away from God, he turns his back on you as well. Okay? We cannot do without him. We understand that. That's religion. That's
it. But I want black people. If the prisons are full of black men, excuse me, it's because they chose to commit a crime. A few got railroaded, a lot is over sentenced, but did nobody tell nobody to sell no dope?
The majority, like I said, a lot of them are. But now if we go to that part of it, then we also have to indict the federal government through a CIA who dumped tons of crack cocaine on the streets of Los Angeles. Watch it now. You create a situation to send me to prison, you know. Watch it now. You know, Michael, way up there. You create the situation for me to go. It wasn't because I just did it on my own, but you dumped it on the street. Therefore, you have not been prosecuted. But at the same time, listen carefully. It was designed to target the black community because just like Pharaoh in the days of Egypt, the white man started fearing that if blacks came together more profoundly and powerfully and strong, that we were going to take over the United States.
Now, you done blow me. Come on now. It wasn't no damn white men. It was they Jews, they Egyptians, and you got way off the track there, bruh. Nobody told me to sell drugs.
Hold on. No, I think I'm on track. Look, hold on just a minute.
God made cocaine. Now, keep it 100. God made weed. God made cocaine. God made tobacco.
Listen. Let's not get off. Let me let him speak. But hold on. I want to get Brother Jeremy. He just came back hooked up with me. Then we're going to take a break. We're going to come back with you, Sister Maya. Y'all been all patient. Hold on just a minute, y'all. We're going to fire it up tonight. Mm-hmm. But Brother Jeremy, I know you up there incarcerated, so you're a prime example of a father being out of the home of his son for 13 years. So, again, I was telling people how you and I had been kicking it for several months now. So tell me what's going on in there and what you feel about what's been said tonight.
Man, it's a beautiful thing to see people come together and dialogue and have different opinions and thoughts through the grace of God, and just to have peace.
Uh-huh.
And we can have different opinions but still come to a solution to some of our problems. So
Amen.
It's very inspirational. And I wanted to tell the sister that made that last comment. Yes, a lot of brothers in here are, guilty of committing crimes. Martin Luther King pointed out in his speech, one of his greatest speeches, that basically the people that create the ghettos, you know, like Brother Washington was saying, you know, the ghettos and the conditions of poverty, that was one of the reasons Dr. King was killed, because he started moving to bring the conditions forward of, hey, man, you create poverty, you create ghettos, and you prey on people's vulnerability. You prey on people's lack of education, miseducation. You prey on people's broken homes, things that. He created the policies, like the redlining policies, the GI Bill.
Amen.
You're taking away people's access to wealth. You say pull yourself up by your bootstraps, but at the same time, you got your boot on your neck. And my website, FreeOurBrothers.com, is a prime example where you have the state of Colorado, which is railroading black men to prison. We are 7 times more likely to be incarcerated in the state of Colorado. If you go to FreeOurBrothers.com, it shows that the state is deliberately, willfully, knowingly, intentionally going around the Emancipation Proclamation, which they always do, the United States Constitution, and their own Bill of Rights, to railroad people to prison without probable cause. And one of their own senators, Senator Pete Lee, which is a white man, he came out and said Colorado is 7 to 8 times more likely to incarcerate people of color. You know, and basically when you have a Ku Klux Klan government, a well-documented government involved in the Ku Klux Klan for generations, when you have these people who put down the sheets and picked up the judge gavels and put down the nooses and start picking up pens, deliberately taking policies and creating laws that can railroad people to prison, what chance do you have? It's not about innocence or guilt. It's about the state breaking in, taking little that we do have, you know, and people may be guilty of a crime, let's say a crime of shoplifting, but the state is going in and robbing people of their due process, robbing people of their generational wealth, robbing people of their family, violating the law. They act like they don't have no dirty hands. So what I'm doing is asking people to please go to freeourbrothers.com and hook up at Instagram at freeourbrothers to help us to get this word out. We need you. We need everybody.
Okay, good, good, good. All right, Sister Matt, you've been kind of back. Don't go anywhere now, angry activists. I told you, we you and I are going to do some more sparring tonight. Come on, Sister Matt. You've been kind of, what's up?
Can I interject? Can you what's that brother name again? Until you get the information, can you let him know what you ain't even tell him what time it was?
Oh God, we're gonna give you an opportunity to do that. Hold on, let me get my out and then you can come in after her. Come on, man. She's been kind of patient. Come on now, talk to me, man.
You always have to take in account of the different things that are put out here in different laws that are, set up for us to be sent to jails or prisons, versus, the opportunities that they do not make, quote unquote, for us to actually excel as a community. They don't want that. They may do one or two things and maybe one or, another community in another state, but they're not trying to do this on a mass level. Their agenda from the get-go was to separate families. They've been since the early slavery times, and they're not going to stop doing it because they see that is a crucial part in our community is the two-parent home or the complete family, or, when we talk about their definition of it, that is recognized. They don't want that to increase. They want to minimize our growth from the root. And that's, one way. And then everything else, that they put in front of, us to, try to throw a stumbling block. Hey, we're going to throw you in prison. We're going to give you this crazy, ridiculous sentence for something that we would have put a slap on the hand on on the little white boy's hand. So that's, Those are the factors that we have to deal with, because if, say, a two-parent home, they get divorced, children stay with their mother or whatever, something happens. Mom has to have two and three jobs to take care of all these children because of the divorce and absent father. For whatever reason it may be, that puts a strain on the mother to teach essential things to her children that a father would normally do, and it makes the role of a mother, a little bit harder. So, they may not know, okay, well, mama didn't say, oh, I couldn't do this, or mama's struggling, I'm going to go out here and help. Just a scenario. There's so many different scenarios that our people and in our community that we face. Ultimately was set up for us to, fall into because of poverty, because of any other reason, that hinders the growth of the black community.
All right. Okay, y'all right. We're going to have to take a break, y'all. Again, I see that Dr. Paul Lehman from Oklahoma City, Edmond, Oklahoma, is on the line. So we're going to come right back. We're going to first of all go with Brother Bomani when we get back, and then we're going to drop right off into it with Brother, my good friend and colleague, Brother Dr. Paul Lehman. Again, we even go to church together and various things. We'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. However, let me take this station break, y'all, so we can continue to do as we do every Thursday, Saturday, and any other night you may want to. So, again, y'all stay with me. We're going to do a little bit of instrumentals by Kool & the Gang, and I'll be right back. We're talking about, is the black family vanishing, and what we can do from here to ward off such a disastrous end result. Y'all hang on, I'll be right back.
Thank you.
communities back, y'all. Ain't no need of blaming nobody else and not taking the initiative. We have the intelligence, we have the mindset, we have the prospects, and there's nothing to hold us back but ourselves. Weather word for outside in Oklahoma City is 36 degrees Fahrenheit. Hey, everybody out there, stay warm, get cozied up, and do what you need to do to ward off that cold weather out there. All right, y'all. This is Baba Witafa, the father of many nations, the tree shaker, Michael Washington, right here in Oklahoma City. We're back today, and we'd like to thank everybody for joining us in tonight. What we are talking about is the black family vanishing? And if it is, what we can do to ward it off, to bring it back on a positive, rightful frame of set work in mind, rather than a downward spiral that's designed to make us extinct as a race of people. Again, Brother Bomani, go ahead on. Like I say, you've been very patient yourself, and then we're going to call our beautiful brother from Oklahoma City, a very wise brother that we definitely need to listen to him. Come on, Brother Bomani, what's up?
Yes, I'm very interested in what Dr. Paul has to say as well, so I'm going to cede my time directly to him.
All right, thank you. All right, Dr. Lamon, you see, you thought you were slick. You thought I wasn't going to call you, but you know I'm going to do that. Again, y'all, this is Brother Dr. Lamon from Oklahoma City. He's a junior professor at University of Central Oklahoma, UCO, and he's been a very, very good, great friend of mine. I've known for many years now, and it's been a pleasure and honor to have learned a lot from him. Again, he's a distinguished author of, an accomplished author of several black books that he's written, and he's just one of them people as a historian, and don't mind writing in the book what it needs to be said. He's not going to sugarcoat it. So right now, we're going to talk to Dr. Lamon. Dr. Lamon, are you online?
Yeah, I'm online.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about, before we get started here, tell me a little bit about yourself. I mean, you had something to do with Channel 9 News, too, didn't you?
Oh, well, yeah, I don't like talking about that, but, yeah, I was,
Now, go on, brother. Talk to us now, so you.
I was the first African-American television journalist and anchor in Oklahoma back in 1969.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk on the subject that you introduced respect. The first thing you have to do is define the family. The definition of the family has changed, as you and your guest have mentioned along during the conversation. So there's no fixed definition of family, but when you talk about the African American family, you usually try and think in terms of the mother, father, et cetera, et cetera. But that hasn't been the case, because the system has always tried to pull the male out of the picture.
Mm.
And not only pull the male out of the picture, but it creates a hardship on the female and the children. And then they turn around and blame the victims for their situation. And you know, listen to all the guests that have been speaking. They tell about their experiences, what they've witnessed, and et cetera, and
mm-hmm.
how the system has done this, et cetera, et cetera. And that's fine, but I think we're in a time right now where we have an opportunity to actually, well, what you do, get more involved in acting and presenting and challenging
mm-hmm.
the system to work for you instead of against you. And so, you know, like with the Oklahoma City jail situation, your presence and the group presence down there constantly putting pressure on the people that's supposed to represent you and et cetera turned into some positive actions.
Amen.
So,
all right. Yes, it is.
So, yeah, it's important to recognize and understand the experiences that we're encountering and the families encountering, but what are you going to do about that? Well, you have to find out what you can do. Who are your representatives? What do you
uh-huh.
know about what's available for you? Who else is in the same position? You get together, because you know there's strength in numbers. If you got a representative, you say, hey, we've got this problem here. You've got to do something for us. We elected you. So you're going to have to work for us. Okay.
All right.
That's all I want to say right now. I'm just going to
add. Don't leave, though, Dr. Lehman. Come on, sister. Angry scientist, mad scientist. She tickles me, Joanna. Come on, Joanna. respond to what you just were saying. Go ahead.
Yes, wise doctor, very much. So you see, I'm glad when folks like the good doctor with his notoriety and distinguished letters, you know, when people like him speak, then people are supposed to listen. Well, zero tolerance is the new black. We are free. We have allowed Confederates, career Confederates, to take off their masks and their hoods and put on suit and ties. And black folks need to understand we are free, free at last. Black Alive 365. We are, black men are freer now than in the history of mankind because God made it so. So we need to be praising God for being free, but understand what that means. Zero tolerance. They're the employee. Why have we allowed them to take away jobs, vote, housing, discredit? It's a political Ponzi scam. So the good doctor just said it correctly. If they worked for us, they have to go. Zero tolerance. And I cannot wait for folks to understand that money is the motivator. We're sitting up here begging for what already belongs to us. So as everyone has made great points and has great ideologies and reasoning, well, it's time to apply the knowledge and be free at last and to achieve the dream. They had a dream in the 20th century. This is the 21st century. So the gentleman that was on the phone about, you know, black folks being disproportionately arrested or convicted, well, guess what? They will continue to be if we don't stop. The governor is not the problem. So let's stand up.
Okay. Automatically. So having said that, let me go to Sister Tomiko. Sister Tomiko, I want to know, In the era in which you're living in today, with a lot of stuff that you got going on with the Detroit hookup, I don't just want to specifically talk about it, but I have to tell you that I agree wholeheartedly with what your group is doing in Detroit. Listen to carefully, Dr. Lehman. They have gone on a rampage, basically. They've gone on a rampage, basically, saying that we're going to take back our African-American community, and they're doing it, I mean, stretches at a time, brother. They're actually down there taking over, and this actually happens to help the black community from its desolate, basically corrupt, basically, how would you say it, basically poverty community. So, Sister Tomiko, can you just a little bit, because this is in tune with what we're talking about, tell us what the brothers and sisters are doing up there, because it definitely helps out our black family units, especially when you know you've got something economically that you can hold on to and claim your own. So talk to me a little bit about that, if you would.
Yes, sir. My honor. I'd like to first address a couple people's points.
Come on.
As well. The goddess angry sister, however she refers to herself, she totally correct in a lot of her perspectives. Some of it, to me, in my opinion, seems contradictory to the reality that we are facing today, saying that we are free. Well, some of us are free through our spiritual consciousness. That means our minds, we don't allow our minds to be manipulated in a matrix that's not reality. So we can see beyond the smoke and mirrors.
Uh-huh.
Excuse me.
Can you hear me? Go ahead on. I'm listening. Or did you get cut out?
Everybody's not free, and freedom ain't free. We're not free if we're not free to determine our own political status. We're not free to pursue our own social, cultural, and economic development. Until we can do those things, we are not free, because that is the definition of self-determination and self-governing. Now, we don't have to go to a governor or president or whoever, because these are in the Constitution and above all else, international law.
Oh, here we go.
To have the freedom to assert self-determination.
Okay, then let her respond to that as well. But sister, give her an opportunity. Let her finish it. You can speak after. Go ahead on.
What the hell do these people be talking about? That's why they ass ain't got shit. What a blood clot them bomba clot be on. A bomba clot this.
I can't understand that, sister. What's she saying?
Where do you get that damn shit from? What reality do
come
you
on, now, come on,
then
we don't have to go through all that now, sister. I mean, everybody has to
okay, let me break it. Just let her finish on her rant, and I'll tell her where I got it from. Let her finish on her rant.
That's why y'all ass ain't got shit now in Georgia with that shit. That's why you got voter suppression and ain't got shit going on there. Because y'all too dumb to understand who the hell the boss is. So don't start talking that shit. That's why black people screwed up. Because y'all on that bouffalet. Yes, we are free. They work for us. The white man ain't the boss no more. So stop talking that bullshit.
You absolutely correct. They do work for us. They are subservient to the people. But you know what? We don't have that freedom to enjoy the because they ain't providing for us. They working for us. But yet why are we still in poverty? Why do they still have all of the earmarks?
You are stupid. I don't give a fuck with that.
Okay, I had to cut them off. They get a little bit too far out there, y'all. I mean, that's not what we are about tonight. But then, Dr. Lehman, again, just tell me a little bit about further, man, about how you think we can further correct this situation that we're in today.
Well, first of all, we've got to use our God-given sense, common sense, and we're not going to get anywhere pointing at each other and calling each other names.
We have to understand
the situation we're in. And when we understand the situation, we have to know what causes that situation. You can't resolve a problem unless you know what the cause of that problem is. Now, you may be dealing with the effects of that problem, which is a decoy, but until you get to the heart of the cause, you're going to have the problem. Now, you have to understand, as much as we might like to see ourselves as a unified group of African-American people, because we share common experiences through society and the government, we have to learn how to work through the system if we're going to make any kind of progress and make the system work for us. You know, if you have a representative that's elected, you know, not by yourself, but if you have other people who are sharing the same problems, experiences, etc., you have to get in touch. You have to act. That's basically all I'm saying. You can't sit back and complain and not do anything about it. You've got to work towards resolving the problem. And whatever that problem is, you have to find out what's the best avenue of approach. You know, people talk about you know, folks getting out in the street protesting problems, protesting will never solve a problem, because protesting is a means, is a tool to get you to the table. The problems when you get to the table, but you have to get to the table first, and you're not going to get there by sitting back talking. You get there by being on the streets so people can see you and show your anger and your disgust, and then they'll say, well, what can we do? Well, let's talk. Let's find out what's going on and what you're doing to us and what we want you to do for us.
Amen. That's absolutely right. Yes.
It takes that action. You know, standing up yelling and dancing, turning flips, that doesn't do anything. You got to use your mind, and you got to use your reason. You know, you find out what's the problem, find out an avenue of approach to address that problem, find out people who will be your allies. Doesn't matter who they are, where they are, what they look like. If they're your allies, there's strength in numbers. They will help you.
Absolutely right.
This better than anybody else. Washington, you know this better than anybody else. You've got to have allies to help you, especially in numbers, to achieve your objective. They might not benefit directly from it, but you would.
Amen. That's it. Amen. All right. That's absolutely right, Dr. Lehman. Let me say this here right quick, then I'm going to have to take some break. Don't leave because, we usually have a pretty good show. And first of all, let me say before I go to a station break here, I want to apologize to Sister Tamiko. Again, that was very rude of the sister to have gone off like that on you. I'm telling you it won't happen again because if it is and she's listening, she will not be invited back. This here is a family-oriented show. I mean, once again, y'all heard me when I opened the show. You might like hamburgers, I might like a hot dog, but that doesn't give me a reason to call you out your name and tell you you're stupid or idiot or whatever. That's not going to work. On this show, we're going to respect one another, and we're not going to be tolerating one another at all. So, again, let me tell you that I'm sorry for that mode, and let me say right quick before I take a station break, well, I'm going to come right back, and we're going to talk about the numbers as they exist here in the Western Hemisphere as far as the dividing and conquer of the black family unit. So, again, let me take a station break, and I'll be right back. And don't leave, y'all. We're going to listen to a little Frankie Beverly and Maze, and I'll be right back with you. So y'all hang with me.
Look what Santa Fe has and what Outback doesn't.
Thank y'all all for tuning in tonight at People Powers Radio. It's your radio show. I'm just simply your host with the most, along with my co-host here, Sister Mayotte from Oklahoma City. She is also the chairperson down in Oklahoma City of the Fred Hampton Gun Club. And again, we appreciate you for your indulgence and all the work you do for the most part, Sister Mayotte. Now, you know, at this particular time, we don't give you a little bit more time to express yourself here. And as y'all know, after she does it, we're getting ready to wind down. We still got about 24 minutes. But as y'all know, we like to give everybody like a spot on a round table, in a sense to have your parting shots. And then I will come back and say my little 2 cents before we close out. So, Sister Mary, go ahead and talk to me. What's up? In other words, what do you feel about tonight? In other words, now you can bring up a topic of what you feel that you want me. As you know, this is your time to shine. This is your 2.5 minutes. So do as you please. Come on, talk to me.
Now, I like to see different perspectives and hear different, points of view of how we can change and affect, the increasing rate of, of our broken homes and other different topics related to you know, our community and our growth. Now tonight, we really need to sit back and look at what did not work and really unite with each other. And I'm not saying we got to like everything about each other and we all got to see a one straight path, but that is, there is a beauty in that also, because one may come up with a great idea and another one may come up with another idea and you may not understand it completely, but that's the reason why, you know, just like pieces to a puzzle, they all are not the same and they all can't go in the same spot, but they make a bigger picture at the end of the day. And I mean, we all have our strengths, you know, in this. We all have our different points of view, our different talents, different angles that we're coming from. But if we are all headed to the vision of empowering our people and actually making that, you know, forefront in our minds, that is our uniting point. We are all wanting to, you know, push the Black community up more and grow, you know, the Black nation. That is the main goal. So whatever angle we can come, whatever, you know, type of, you know, skill or talent or knowledge that you have, it's appreciated. You know what I mean? Because we can form the bigger picture of things, but we all have to come civilized and we all have to talk to each other with respect so we can pass the same habits, you know, that same good mannerisms and habits to generations behind us so that they know how to communicate and they know how to conduct business and they know how to, you know, have collaborations with each other to continue on this vision. So that's all I got to say towards it.
All right. Amen. All right. Amen. Oh, man. Hey, you definitely made some great points there. And we definitely want people to highlight it and accept the fact that what's going on is what is happening. Okay, brother.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, hey. This is Queen X. Just sending love out to everybody. Yeah, I was sitting here listening about the family, how to build back up the family dynamics and everything and everybody's perspective and the ideology of how that can come about. My stance on that is what the gentleman said, like it's a root cause to everything, right? If we don't get to the root of it, we'll never be able to branch out that family tree again. So, with that being said, I would say it all starts at home. It all starts with all of us taking responsibility, knowing that we all are brothers and sisters, whether we're young or old. We're still family as a whole unit across the table. But as far as the individual families, you know, networks and stuff, with people saying that, you know, the father's not in the house or via absent the mother or the father, either or, right, you still have those family values that you could hold on to, you know, from your grandmothers, from your great-grandmothers, you know. Like, say, for instance, my mom, there's 19 of them, okay, and their values, the way we were growing up, were quite different than what I see today, of course. Say my grandparents were from the South, and so by being so many children, they came north for better work, right, and they left half their children back in the South until they got here to make a better life for them, right? And then they sent for them after that. Okay, so that structure was pretty neat to me. But then also the bonding that I noticed in the family unit, you know, our family unit with my grandparents, having so many children, it was a bond there, and it was a value there, you know what I'm saying? And it still continues to today, and that amazes me so much that our family still has that glue. It still has that village glue, where to where we look out for each other. You know what I'm saying? And our children are teaching each other, you know what I'm saying, those same values. So I feel like if we do that as a people, as a whole, to go back to those old values that we used to have and those old morals and things like that, that were very contributory to our our healthier lifestyles and our healthier living and things like that, and our unification as in communities, you know, neighborhoods, you know, cities, how we all stuck together on everything. You know what I'm saying? Like I heard you mention at the beginning of the show, like your neighbor would tell if you did something, you know what I'm saying, then you got in trouble,
yeah.
You know,
oh,
when your parents got home. We need to keep that type of thing going, and we need to keep our young people really involved, because that disconnection has came in there since when, like you said, when the drugs came in and all that stuff, and they started locking our men up, they started passing out the what do you call it, food stamps and the medical and all that things of that nature, and saying the man can't stay in the house and things like that. That was just to demoralize our men and bring them down even more, and to make the woman more dependent on the system that doesn't care about them either. You know what I'm saying? So it's like Malcolm X said, we've been tricked, we've been hoodwinked, we've been bamboozled. And
bamboozled,
you know,
yeah.
Yes.
All right.
So we're walking around with our eyes wide shut, you know what I'm saying, and our ears are not open, because we can't listen to each other. We can't, you know, talk to each other, have, you know, positive dialogue, and this is what needs to take place. Positive
Amen.
Dialogue.
All right, definitely. I want to give you a little bit more time because you hadn't been on it, but go ahead and take about one more minute, and then we're going to let that go around the horn, and before, because I got about 17 minutes before I got to close out. But go ahead and say a few more words that of encouragement. You're sounding good so far, Tommy, so keep going.
Yeah, everybody needs to start uplifting everybody. You know, we are people empowering people. We want to, you know, get to that goal. You know what I'm saying? We want to be liberated. We want to be able to live free, you know, experience that divine birthright that we have. You know what I'm saying? So in order to do that, I hear a lot of people saying, we can't unify, we can't do this, we can't do that. But we can. You know, we can and we
Amen.
Will. With that in mind, just, you know, just know that we can do it. And we shall do it, because we're that strong people. We've always been strong.
Oh, man, you said it right there then. I mean, we just have to get back and recognize our strengths and weaknesses and piggyback on one another. When I'm weak, pick me up, help me get across to the other side. You know what I mean?
Yes,
and then in turn,
right,
same way with you, I'll give back to you. So, again, thank you, Sister Queen X. Don't leave yet. We're going to still do a little bit of thing, as y'all know we do in our back room. So, again, Brother Beaumont, talk to me, man. You gave your spot a while ago, but like I said, this is the round table point where we all have our parting shots. So talk to me if you want to.
Yeah, the good doctor definitely made some good points. And, well, history is the best teacher. We look to history to see how other people have resolved their problems in similar situations. When the colonists decided that they weren't getting treated properly, that taxation without representation wasn't going to work for them, well, they decided to establish their own government. That was the template. They gave it to the world. Everybody knows how to proceed and stand up and man up and take what's theirs. That's the template. There is no other way for men to handle business. Now, maybe women can do it a different way, but throughout history, men have had to stand up to other men to demand what's their due. That's the only way we get it. There's no other way around it. It ain't changed in 200 years. It ain't changed then. It ain't going to change now. If we don't man up and stand up for ours, we won't get it. Simple as that. We don't need reparations from anybody. We need to repair our manhood and our brotherhood and stand up for ourselves and each other. That's what we need. We need to be men on mission to get our families back, get back what was lost. But until we get mission-minded, we're going to continue to be running around looking for what we should be doing instead of doing what we should have been done generations ago. But we're going to have to. We're going to have to determine for ourselves our future. Otherwise, we don't have a future. We're continuing to build other people's legacies. We've been building this corporation for other people. You know, the country has been ours for the longest. We didn't destroy the land. We didn't tear it up. We didn't destroy all the buffalo. We didn't wipe them out. We didn't wipe out all the birds that they have murdered off. So they didn't develop America. They retarded the land. They poisoned the land, air and water. So they haven't done us any favors, actually. They've actually took the land and perverted it and poisoned the people in the population. And now they're dying off, and they're mad because they can't reproduce and want to poison the rest of us. So we just have to understand what we're dealing with now. This is a very deep, long rabbit hole that has a lot of turnoffs into it. But we got to understand the basics of it is self-determination. That's our solution. But until we get to the point where we can establish our own policies for how we're going to conduct ourselves, we don't stand a chance.
Yeah. Boy, hey, you know, you said it right, brother. Self-determination, self-autonomy, self-individuality is very, your own point, is very necessary, because when we continue to wear the badges that is passed out to us by the powers that be, again, the eugenics, I keep telling everybody to go look up that word, is important enough for us to understand those people are racist. When you're in a race, if you and I are at the starting block and we're racing to point B, the point is for me to beat you by any means necessary as long as it's legal. But they don't play by legal means. So what I'm trying to tell you is when they're racist, they're racing to the start, from the starting gate to the final point to be able to get that point across. So in other words, brother, when we're racing, quite naturally as it's kept, you mean nothing to me until it's over with. That's how they look at it. Sister Tamiko, come and talk to me. What's up with you? Are you there, Tamiko?
Everyone made, yes. Everyone made some really good points. And it's so much to say that I could say, you know, in support and response to everyone's point, even the angry activist, even her herself. But, however, Brother Bomani said it best, you know, when it all ties it up into a nice neat box and bowl and package for our people, he said it best, we're getting nowhere fast if we don't assert self-determination. All in a nutshell, whatever we say the root cause of it, and most of us know what the root causes of our condition is, whatever the root cause is, the answer and the remedy is asserting self-determination. It's an imperative prescription of principle for our liberation of people, period. You know, the reason why we are in poverty, homelessness, the reason why our men are being faced with brutality and our women, the reason why we have 80% more of our people incarcerated, whether they are guilty or not, the entrapment of it, the draw and the attention and attraction to the street life, when our young men should be thinking of how to prepare their lives to take care of their families. The loss of values and morals like Queen Egbert, we need to be getting back to that.
It's just how
they have divided our families and broken it down. The remedy for that is to let our people know what we have available to remedy that, how we can make it better, what will make our heaven here on earth. Because heaven is not the pie in the sky. Heaven
is
here on earth.
I like that.
As what we make it. So when my time goes, I'll just be in a transition until shit get right here. Anyway, it's just a transformation of energy. You know what I'm saying? When we transition, everybody's got to go someday. We're just transferring energy when we go.
No question.
We are still here and going to be here in another form of energy. So they won't see the last of you, me, or whoever if we know who we are inside and we're connected to our true selves and nature and spirituality.
All right,
so
all right.
All that being said, just let me wrap it up in a little bow.
Come on.
The best thing we can do for ourselves individually and in as a community is to learn international law, learn the Human Bill of Rights.
I like. Ooh,
and learn
we're gonna talk about it in our room, y'all.
Like,
I gotta get ready
and
here.
Political rights.
We gonna
That's
definitely. Hey, y'all know when we over with, we do. You still in my room? Okay. Thank you, Sister Tamiko, so much. And then you keep that thought in mind, because we're gonna talk a little bit more about that before we leave. Brother, doctor, friend of mine, layman, talk to me, man, and take us out of here on your part before I say have my 2 cents.
Well, you know, my father always said, if you're talking, you're not hearing. I like to listen, too, because I learn.
Oh, yeah, I know that. That's why we want to know that, because we definitely want to have you on the show, Dr. Lehman, and what we want to do is probably within the next week or two have you come in and tell us a little bit about your history books, why you wrote them, and, you know, where we can go online and find them and stuff, because, man, you have a lot of history here in Oklahoma that people need to hear about, because, man, you opened the door to a lot of closed doors that we never even thought and knew existed. You know what I mean? So the words, like different phrases you use about African Americans and names that we shouldn't be called black, different other stuff like this. I mean, it's all important. I mean, that's, I know it's not the show tonight, but we'd like you to come back on if you can, one of these things within a week or two, and we'll give you the show and let you tell a little bit about your black history and why you got involved.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate the opportunity and thought. So I'll give it some thought.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Just think about it. I don't want you to just jump right out too quick because I know you'd be pretty busy. But, okay, Brother Dr. Lehman, so hang on just a minute because we're getting ready to get out of here. Y'all in about 8 minutes. Somebody just popped up, 202-553. Who is that? Now, I got to better turn your mic on here. I'm looking.
Okay,
can you hear me, 202?
Yeah, I can hear you. So I came in a little late, but I think the topic is how to keep the black family together. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, well, I keep hearing self-determination and family.
Well, no, we was at the closing end of what it's like a round table. We give everybody 2 to 2.5 minutes to close us out because we're getting ready to close. But you can go back to talk about that. You come on in. You're new to it.
Yeah,
come
I just want to say something real quick about the black family and what the black family used to look like. We're going to have to get back to what it used to be. We used to eat together at the table. You have to take time out to talk with your children. You have to create programs. You have to educate your children in your own home to keep your family unit strong. Like in the 70s, a woman could get, black woman, go get welfare, but you got to tell the people, hey, I don't know who my baby father is. All that type stuff. So the system was designed to keep the black male out of the home. So some of that went to their head. So then they was telling the black man, hey, I got a job. I don't need you. So, you know, this is what the kids are looking at, a whole ball of confusion. I mean, to keep the family unit together, you have to do a lot of things. You have to eat together. You have to pray together. We have to go back to the old way of doing things when we had somewhat of what you would call culture. And, you know, that goes a long way with men acting like men and women acting like women. What does that look like?
Uh-huh.
It don't look like it does now because everybody is doing things at different times instead of doing it as a family unit.
All right.
That's why the black male is out of the home. He has a blue-collar job where the white male is have a 9-to-5 so he can come home and see his kids. So we work in all different types of hours, but it's up to us to make the time and the distinction to be together. And I don't have enough time to go all the way back from the 70s on up, which what I was trying to show y'all is how
the system works. Yes, we do, because like I said, after we go up the air in 5 minutes, I still have my back room open, so a lot of us still here be kicking it. So you still got time, but right now, let me take it right here, but don't leave. Matter of fact, what city are you? Just tell me your first name, what city are you from?
I'm from D.C. I'm Sister Robinson.
Okay, Sister Robinson, but don't go away, sister, because like I said, I'm in my back room after I got off the air in 5 minutes, we still kick that thing. So you still, like I said, 70s, if you want to go back to 1902 or whatever, you definitely have time because like I got to set up. But let me cut you off here right quick because I'm getting ready to get out of here. But let me say this here before we get off the air. We got less than 5 minutes. I want everybody to understand, number one, that in 2020, there were about 4.25 million black families in the United States with a single mother. Are y'all listening to me? In 2020, there were about 4.25 million black families in the United States with a single mother. Just like some of the stuff you talked about, sister, just like some of the stuff that our other illustrious and well-esteemed guests have spoken about, drugs, poverty, welfare, killing ourselves, killing each other, being killed by medicines in the regular hospitals and different things. Y'all, yes, it was all designed and perpetrated by the slave master in the beginning of time to ensure that he divided and conquered the black family. Why? Because a family who stayed together prayed together. A family who stayed together ate together, as you just spoke about. So the thing to do, and then when you realize, too, when you have God in your life leading you, then you're going to sit back and you're going to suddenly think of ways because that inspiration is going to come to you because you put God first. The white man wasn't crazy. That's why he took your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and made him his own. He already knew you were a spiritual people. So again, y'all, now, I just told you from 4.25 black families in the United States, when they were headed by a single mother. Now, watch this. This is an increase from the 1990 level, where there were about 3.4 million black families in the single with the single mother. Think about this, y'all. We are jumped in just 12-year time frame. I mean, excuse me, 20-year time frame. See, the United States, everything goes in 20s. Okay, they can tell you in 20 years the next virus going to be, you know, the next country going to start going into the poverty, economic decline or whatever. See, they have scientists working on these things, y'all, okay? This is how they control the population of the earth. But now let me say this here. Typically speaking, like I say, when I was growing up, I'm sure a lot of you, there were two family parents in the home, you know, the father and the child and the mother and the child. But if you go to one parent, you can go to another. But like here today, as y'all just said and Dr. Lamer just spoke about so clearly, the situation now has gravitated toward, if you put your hand on your child, I'm going to whoop you. I'm going to put you in jail. Okay? So they're taking the family structure out of our children, and therefore, watch this here, so now the families have to fight with and grapple with the challenge is how you defeat the family, which becomes his street now. You're no longer the family anymore, okay? So you're dealing with a lot of fads and diversities and things that are going on in our world today. So I want to say this, y'all. I got about 2 minutes, and I just want to say again, I want to thank all of y'all for joining us tonight. And then let me add as well before I close out that this is your show. This is People Power Radio, and I want y'all to know that this is not the last time we're going to get together. Now, this coming Thursday, we're going to have Sister Tamiko as a special guest, as she's always is anyway. But we're going to focus more so on how those brothers and sisters are taking back their communities in Detroit. You heard what I said. They're regaining property. They'll be regaining their businesses. They're regaining independence. That's what she was talking about when you came on, the self-determination and self-autonomy, being self-sufficient. In other words, being a nation within a nation. Okay? So we want everybody to know this here. Once again, I'm getting ready to close off here. They're getting ready to take me off the air in about a minute and 2 seconds. But, again, my back room will be open for those of you who want to stay on. We usually keep that thing for about 20 minutes. So, again, if anybody has any ideas for the show, let me tell you that, again, you can talk to me and call me at area code 405-246-9089. They call me the tree shaker. If I can't get mine and reach it, I'm going to shake that tree till I get mine. Bottom line, Martha knows this, straight up. So anyway, if you want to talk to us, if you got any problems, I mean, we are on Facebook. You can go find us at Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, where our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. So again, if you have any ideas for a show, please call me at area code 405-246-9089. That's our organization's number. And I'm getting ready to close out. He just told me I had 8 seconds left. So goodbye, everybody. Thank you for joining in. And again, please follow through on my back room because we're not through yet. Be blessed, everybody, and God bless all y'all. Have a great day. All right, y'all. We still got about a few minutes before they lock us in.
Ashe.
All right, Ashe. I sound that boy sound familiar. Who's that one talking about, Ashe?
I have to get up out of here on this one.
Okay.
I definitely look forward to our next call. And you said that'll be yesterday, Saturday.
This Thursday
so
at 8 o'clock,
Thursday.
We're going to talk about the economic development and need in black communities, what's happening in Detroit, and how we can, you know, piggyback off that and get some out of ourselves.
Okay, so that's for us this Thursday, the one I'm going to lead out with the self-determination. Okay,
yeah.
And the next Saturday one is what?
And then the next Saturday one, we're going to talk about a topic we need to get. That's why I need y'all to give me one because I haven't gotten one yet. So if you feel like you don't need to get it, y'all just talk to me.
I thought we already had
that
one. Hold on. Let me check.
Okay.
I thought you had one for next Saturday. 1 second.
Jeff, let me know. I may have them. I just probably didn't see it. I've been doing so much down here. I probably did. I just remember. I'll write it. You write them down.
I'm not sure. I'm looking in the white book that I wrote it in. Hold on. Yeah, here it is. Oh, the correctional facility violation. Yes. I think I got the date turned around for it.
Right?
We actually didn't speak of a date for it, so I got self-determination, and the next one after that next Saturday, is the correctional facility violation.
Mass incarceration. Okay, I got it. Thank you for reminding me of that, y'all. See, y'all want to help me sometimes because I'd definitely be speeding. I didn't. Oh, man, I need to slow down. But, okay, yeah, so, y'all, we're still, again, live in my back room. We're just off the air. But, again, I want to thank all of y'all for thank you, Dr. Lamer. Okay, we'll see you later. I just want to thank all y'all for coming out here and giving me an opportunity to, you know, just be a boss in your community and hopefully in your heart that I'm doing something that y'all like, and hopefully that, obviously you wouldn't be coming on if it wasn't, but I just hope to continue to do so. And I want to let every one of y'all know I'm very excited about possibly this year in June to go out and want to be one of the three speakers in Atlanta, Georgia, all-black conference of black professionals and black economists in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to put it on Facebook tonight so people won't think I'm just talking. But, yeah, they wanted me to come up there. They said they heard about the things I was doing, especially when I made national news on World News Tonight with David Muir when, you know, they killed our young brother up here in Oklahoma City, Curtis Williams. The family contacted me of everybody, and we put it down the way it's supposed to be. So they know about that and a few other things I'm doing down here, like the brother just spoke about, the jail situation. We got new jails coming up and people getting out of jails and things like that hadn't been. So, again, it's all about the progress and how you move things and refuse to take no for answer. So, again, that's where I am with this, y'all. And then we're going to, in March, we're going to do a little thing down here in Tulsa where a brother named Prentice, he's falsely incarcerated for now, almost for, I think, 2 years now, I believe. He's in there for defending himself in his own home. I mean, he has evidence and things of that nature. We're going to do a rally on the 26th of March, and we're going to go down and let them people know, hey, Pharaoh, let my people go. You know, so we just fighting where we can, y'all. Because
where
if we,
is that at before I go? Where is that at?
It's in Tulsa, Oklahoma. It's going to be. Matt, you may know a little bit more about that, don't you?
You said about what? I'm sorry, you said it again?
Prentice, rally in Prentice in 26th of
yes.
March next month, on 26th. Now, that's going to be from 3, yes, at 3
yeah.
o'clock is at the District County Courthouse, I believe.
Yes.
And we're just going down and fight for the brother and let him. Go ahead, Sister Mayor, you saying something?
I said
I
have the flyer. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
I was like, I have the flyer, and I can give you guys the address if need be.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, post that on the book.
Okay.
Yeah.
It should be on the – I posted it on my page, and then I'm going to post it in my club page, the gun club page also.
Yeah, because we want to see what we can do to – get down there as well. I may have some of the brothers and sisters coming out of St. Louis come down there. I'm just trying to give them a little heads up. I think we can probably get that and make that happen. Also, I'm supposed to be speaking at that one as well, y'all. I mean, I'm one of them, like I say, I'm a tree shaker. I don't play with them. I mean, I get to talking harsh and harder, you know. So, and that's why they asked me to speak there as well. So we're going to definitely light it up.
Well, much love to everyone. I got to get going.
Thank you
I'll
so much. Definitely. Okay, Ache, take out a good night, and thank you again for all you've done, and continue to do what you do. You have our passion that follows you there. Be blessed now. Thank you.
Be blessed as well.
All right, thank you.
Awesome.
All right, so we still got our normal three debates, Brother Bomani and Sister Mayette. We got about 10 minutes. It came a little short tonight. I think we got redo this. Go ahead, Brother Mine. Talk to me. Yeah, redo this medical thing.
Oh, I just enjoyed the conversation. I was glad to hear more people participating. That's what we need.
Oh,
we
man.
Need.
I told y'all. We're told we fired it up. I'm not kidding with y'all.
Shit. Our capacity to be able to converse and to convert conversations into action, you know, plans of action. We're on a mission. We're on a mission.
Yes, we are.
Those of us who are committed to this way of life, that it's not just a weekend warrior thing, you know, to get on it. Sometimes we're on it. This is what we do. You know, this is our legacy that we're going to leave behind. You know, they're not going to say they're old. They were busy doing other. No, they were busy about our people. This is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
We need our people in a better state. And the only way to get them there is to put them there. And we ain't going to be able to do it by watching for somebody else to do it. We're going to be the ones who get it done. Because if we keep waiting for somebody else to do it, good luck on that.
Let's get it. There ain't nothing to it but to do it, y'all. I mean, hell, y'all seen the commercials. Let's
do
it.
For us, what we got to do for us. I mean,
come on.
You know, that's part of the problem, just waiting on a savior. When we are the ones who were born to save us. We're born for this.
Come on.
This is the work. This is why we got hands and feet.
Yeah, sure.
What God made
really?
Us for. That's why we got sent. We got sent
come
to
on.
Do the work. People are passing that cup. You know, many are called, but few answer the call.
Mm-hmm. Many are called, few are chosen.
No, all of us are chosen. Many few choose to answer that call.
Yeah, that's it.
Everybody's got melanated skin been called. Yeah, all of us been called. But very few of us are answering the call. So, yeah. We definitely
well, I tell you what, now next week, I mean next Thursday, y'all get ready, boy, because we finna let that light it up. And Sister Mayette, you pay close attention because you and I are finna embrace some of the principles that they got for the economic program in Detroit up there. And again, our brother and sister already said that we can establish our own front right here in Oklahoma, so therefore, but at the same time, partner with them and take control of our streets. Now let me tell y'all something, y'all. Y'all may not believe it or not. These white folks out here, highly suspect. And they will listen. They don't want to cross me too quick, path too quickly. So listen carefully, y'all. We just about in position to basically get what we want, in other words, for the most part, so they can keep us quiet. Why tell these people no when we can give them and let them do their thing? That's what I want them to do. Give me mine. I ain't going to worry about what y'all doing or nothing like that because I'm going to be too busy with my own. But don't try to hinder me, economically speaking, to keep me as you got me already. See, when I talk to them like that in their meetings and different things, they say, well, it's no question about what does Michael Washington want. I just told y'all, we're finna get new deal. You heard the brother tell you, we're not playing down here, man. I mean business. Keep trying to tell y'all, man. There's not only we finna get a new jail, we finna bet people already being let out of bail bonds. If coming in there, if your bond is not associated with a vicious or horrible crime, you're getting right up out of it. As soon as you come in there, that's never in history but what I started down there. I can say that. Bottom line. But now, but at the same time, I didn't stop it because, like I said, why? We tired of this nigga coming out here, getting these damn TVs and things on our faces and letting everybody know what we're doing or not doing. So why don't we listen to what he's saying so we can let him move on somewhere else? That's all I demanded, brother. I didn't ask for nothing. So what I'm trying to tell y'all is if we get an economic plan like what they're talking about in Detroit, they're not going to tell us no because, once again, the people see I'm about my people, y'all be continue to be about y'all. I'm not going to interfere with y'all, but don't stop being economic when y'all got all the money in the damn way.
They're definitely going to tell you no, because what we're talking about Detroit is not sharing the pie. We're talking about taking the pie. So, yeah, they're going to tell
you no.
Oh, no,
we're not talking about sharing it because they got their own. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
they can have their community.
Yeah.
We're going to get our own.
That's the thing. They don't want to lose their golden goose. So
yeah,
they understand that. Yeah, that's – they don't want – they want us to talk about anything but self-determination. They want us to talk about black empowerment.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Economics, but they don't want you to talk about that self-determination. That's the last thing I want you to talk about. So once you
man,
start
talk to me.
What's
up? I ain't going to let you get away like that, youngster. We got about six minutes anyway. I ain't let you go like that. Talk to me. Hey, and let me say one more thing, too, y'all. Don't forget now, tomorrow night we're going to finish our – oh, and we're going to talk about, again, remember now, our safe house for women that's in prison and those who are abused by their partners. Again, we have many other projects out there right now where people are giving – fundings and other operational measures. They're giving out monies and things to operate safe houses and stuff because, as you know, there's not enough of them out there. So, again, y'all, you know, we usually do that thing. What was that, 6 o'clock last time? What was it? I have to find out. The other sister got it. And guess what, y'all? We're already in place. We have one sister who's going to be our executive. No, I'm the executive director, but she's going to be our director of the policies and practices and procedures. Sister Mayette is going to be there on the educational side, as having been a victim herself of domestic violence, as well as other ladies who, but them, who've already lived that fiery, dilapidated lifestyle. What better way to have somebody who already know and just can't be told anything? So, again, we're already in place, and we've got one of the major nonprofits in Oklahoma City, the Oklahoma Community Action Agency. They are behind us. And, again, y'all, I think we're getting ready to do our master plan, which is our business plan, and we're going to get some finances, and I mean, I basically already got the okay, you know. So, once again, all these people are already seeing, hey, Mike, watch, we know that he's not going to squander this. We know he's about this. He's just showing us every day. He's always moving. So, yes, let's give him that, and he won't have to worry about it bothering us. We're not in the news now, so we don't need it now. I'm trying to tell you, everything is done for a purpose. I don't just get out there because, oh, I'm going to make him feel good, right? No, it's not about that at all, man. I don't want to hinder y'all. Whatever y'all doing, just give me mine. You done took me for 450 years I've been in the Western Hemisphere. Just give me mine back, and you ain't going to hear from me. You know? So, I mean, I think that makes sense to me. If somebody bothered me, I need to be doing something else. You know? So, I want y'all to know, like I said, I think it was, I can't remember what time. I got to give it to sister, see what time last time.
Do y'all remember, Bo Money, what the last Sunday, what time it was? Well, it was 7 o'clock, wasn't it?
It was 7. I believe it was 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what it was. So, yeah, man, yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell you. So I'm going to let you start getting with the sister over there, and y'all can kind of go over a business plan, and then we'll get the finalization of it. Actually, she's actually wrapping it up now, so she'll give us a report tomorrow where she's gotten with it. Once she does that, then we'll be able to put our 2 cents in it on each part before she finalizes, and then we'll do on a nice day that we are able to meet. We'll sit down. We'll Zoom for a minute, but then we'll actually meet up in one of the spot, maybe a library or whatever. And whatever we do, Brother Bomani, we'll send you a transcribed copy of everything so you can be in a part of where you are. You know, like I said, you're an indelible part of it. Even though you're in another state, you've shown your dedication to the struggle here, so we definitely want to include you in everything we do. And guess what, y'all? This is going to open a door for us to have a salary from it. I mean, we're not focusing on salaries, but at the same time, if this is my job, I mean, that's the purpose of salaries. So, therefore, that means I can let go of my other jobs. Of course, why? It becomes a job to manage the people's lives, to keep them out of prison, to make sure they have a place to live, a phone call, a bus to drive to the job or whatever. See, it becomes our job. And why not use some of the money in perspective like those other people, way that don't mean anything in the interest of people interest not in their heart, but ours is going to be. That's where we separate and going to be different, y'all. That's why more and more people now are coming in these different states and recognizing us, y'all, because they hear us on the radio. They say, man, these people out here, and that's why I was trying to tell the angry activists. I wrote a text a while ago. I said, sister, you know, you have one more time, and you know I love you and I respect you, but I just can't allow that to be going, because we don't talk about somebody being idiot, stupid, and all crazy and all that. That's not what we do here, because I wouldn't want to listen to you if you talk to me that way. You already know that. So I just text and all that. I say, anybody, I have a right to disagree with you. I mean, why am I going to be stupid because I don't want to look at it and do something you don't want to do? That, really? I mean, rather than do it, I just move on down the road, because, like I said, we obviously not going in the same direction. You know, so I text her that. She hadn't gotten back with me. She's still a little hot under the collar. I understand that. But once again, we're not going to tolerate it. I'm not going to call anyone y'all stupid or idiots and all that. I hope that I don't get called that, because people are bigger than that, you know. So I just want to let y'all know we're not going to tolerate that from her. And I apologize. And some of the other people were saying that they accepted the apology and appreciated me for having the spine to even say it like that. So that's where I am with that, y'all. We're not going to let one person who's, again, with the devil in them, that's coming in and trying to destroy what they're seeing, we're trying to build. That's the way the devil does. So you cut him off in the trenches. You don't let him build up, and then it's too late. Oh, man, I should have cut him off at the ankle before he got standing up. You know, so. All right, y'all, appreciate y'all so much. Y'all, we got about 3 minutes, brother and sister of mine. Y'all, go ahead. Y'all got last words. See, you know me. I just be kicking it, man. Y'all got me fired on up. Mm-hmm. I get fired up after these shows, man. I just get it. Getting ready to type and write.
I really do enjoy, you know, the different perspectives. Every time I get on the show, I'm getting, you know, different ideas, or, you know, my mind is, you know, something's like, oh, what is that? You know,
yes,
it's always a learning
yes.
process, no matter what. We always learn
oh, man.
From each other.
Come on. That's the purpose, man. Hey, sis, I keep trying to tell you. When you learn something you didn't know, you learn more that you're going to know.
Mm-hmm.
Me, you, anybody else. That's why I love the different topics. That's why I had the brother Lehman get on the show tonight, because I know that he's well-renowned, well-known all in the books and in the history of the first media outlet in Oklahoma. So what better way when we start telling people like that we have people like that coming on our show who are going to be at our – matter of fact, you met Dr. Lehman once when we had our event up there. At Women in Ag Building, when we were talking about when we did our first Kwanzaa, he get up there and spoke a short brother, kind of bald headed.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, I remember him.
Yeah, that's who that was there. And again, like I said, I got some couple of other college junk professors in San Francisco going to be on the show when we talk about Detroit. I already contacted them and what they're doing in economic development in Wisconsin. I mean, come on, y'all. I'm telling y'all, man, people are taking notice because they have not heard what we're doing like this in Oklahoma, because they call us backwoods Oklahoma. Okay? Bottom line, y'all. But when they see they have somebody like ourselves, our different groups, with the Fred Hampton Gun Club and people like that there, who are establishing themselves in a more calm, cool, collective manner, but we're not going to tolerate you coming in on the outside telling us what we can or can't do. Once again, sir, we're going to respect you, but we're not going to, in turn, ask for respect. We're going to demand in return. If we get along like this, y'all, if you let us do this here, we ain't going to have no problem. But if you invade my space, I cross that line, brother, man, we ain't got to ask you why you did it. I'm going to knock your damn head up, then we're going to talk about it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, that's only right.
Because if they do it one time, they want to do it a second, third time. Y'all agree?
I'll show you.
Yes. So, yeah. So, you know, so my attitude, like I said, you're doing a great work out here, so you continue to do that, and let's keep this vehicle driving in a direction where we all can go in unity. You know, because as long as we go in unity, we can't be stopped at the top. You know, just keep everybody focused in mind and fighting a good fight, because the fight is definitely ours. You know what? The Caucasian, the powers that be, I mean, they really run the world, man. I mean, the whole world, not just part of it. But you have to realize, listen carefully, y'all, everything that's designed to be perfected must fail after a time. I'm 63 now, but tomorrow I'll be 64. I'll be 78, blah, 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 blah. What does that mean? My time is winding down. So nothing stays the same. Symbolically speaking, let's look at that Caucasus in power today then and say, look here, sucker. Remember now, you're getting older and older and older and older. So what do they do then, y'all? I know y'all know this. So what do y'all know they do then, y'all? They train their children. What the Bible say, train up a child on where it should go and it will not depart from you. That's what them Caucasians do. Son, I'm getting old now. Come in and be the executive of the bank. Come in and run my corporation now. You understand what I'm saying, y'all? That's is what we have to do.
Start training them young.
Bam! Bam! Bam!
They're taking them to work and, you know, letting them see it. And then when they get of age and where they can comprehend what's going
on,
they start in their teenage years, they teach them how to manage. They teach them how to buy and trade and do all that things.
Oh, of course.
So
are you kidding me?
We got to understand who we dealing with, you know.
Yes. Yes.
So.
You know, so in like-minded people, when you sit back and recognize what you just said, that's why we have to get ourselves in positions, just like you have your degrees and things. You say you're working in sociology. Okay, listen to what I'm saying. You have the ingredients already right there. You've gone through the mechanics of the diploma system. You've gone through the college curriculum. So now, like you're doing, teach that knowledge that you got people, but rather than the school book, teach them in the ways and facts of life that they on a daily scale. You know what I mean? Use that knowledge to get in school, but to teach it on a level that they can understand on the street. Does that make sense?
Yep,
see? So when you get that, you're saying, okay, y'all, you have the book knowledge, now you have the street knowledge. Who can overtake you now? When you're just in school, that's all you know about. But you ever had the strategic, come on, what'd you say? Go ahead.
They don't, you know, they teach, you know, their curriculum, but they don't, they don't teach what, you know, they're going to have to take with them when they leave. You know, because not every track is, you know, geared and led to, you know, going to college for most of our youth. And, you know, they leave, they get out of high school, and they don't know what to do, you know, because they wasn't taught those vital things that they used to teach back in the day, you know, how to manage, you know, money and balance a checkbook. And, you know, even when I was, you know, doing home ec and other classes, they even taught CPR.
Mm-hmm.
So it's dwindling down to where those programs will be funded for just a little bit in the schools until they'd be like, all right, now we're going to pull funding. And
wow,
and
ain't that something? Look how they
gone.
Do. They build your hope and courage up and just
to
let you down hard. Oh, man.
And that's within the last, that was done, I believe, at John Marshall. A couple of years back, I have an uncle that used to teach there, and he was like, yeah, we'll get the money, you know, up for the programs, and it's kind of like, you know, just dwindle off. Like, they don't keep that going, you know, those vital skill classes for kids at all.
You know what, you are so right, man. Now, do you know that up there, John Marshall, too, that's ironic. Now they're talking about doing away with the musical class. Now, why would you do away with musical class? Everybody loves music, and you got professionals all over. Are you kidding me?
That's
why would you
crazy.
Do to kids
and
like
it's
that?
It's also a degree. It's also a degree, too.
Hello? I just said,
that's
so sickening, really, man. You know how many people have gone on to become
famous musicians from going to local schools here in Oklahoma alone? Something we haven't even heard about? Something going on with infancy conductors and things? Oh, man. Oh, man,
oh,
I tell you. We got about one minute, man. You ready to cut me off? But, hey, yeah, I always, like I say, it's always honor and pleasure. Like I said, just let me know if I can help you out with something, like I said, because we're traveling down the same track. You know, we're in the race. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to let anybody outdo us. And matter of fact, if I get halfway there and you don't get there, we're going to pull each other there. You know, if I hope that you put me and say, hey, man, come on, get my bootstrap. You ain't even going to go halfway, Mr. Washington. You probably couldn't make it all the way. I'm going to drag you behind across the street on the road.
I'm gonna put you in one of my little carriers and you running down the street on four wheels and 2 feet. You gonna be like, you come on now.
I'm gonna say, doggone it, I'm at home. My Lord, help me, somebody help me. She's trying to drag my old balls to the truck.
Like, what is she doing?
That's a good point you made there. Hey. It's always a pleasure, like you said, just keep it up a good fight because people are watching you, believe me. That's why people want to get you in the middle of what they're doing or whatever, because they see a fighter. They see you not just talking. I mean, man, come on, they see the motivation that you're doing. They see the stuff that who you're attending, the meetings that we be having, Kwanzaa, like I said, for the first time. Look at the measures and possibilities that are opening up for you abounding. And you're getting ready to be a part of our safe house for women that you're getting ready to give us money for. That's what I'm trying to tell you, Mayette, but you couldn't do that if you didn't meet people.
That's,
you know, not just some talkers. Meet people that's going and traveling in the same direction and path that you're going.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
I'm like minds think alike.
That's
and,
it. That's
you know,
it.
I'm like, we all going in the same direction, so it's
yes.
motivating, you know, to have a good circle of people, you know,
yes.
that are really genuine to the same cause and are motivated themselves. So, you know,
yes.
each other there.
Yes, and like you said, uh-oh, to get ready to close out. May God bless and keep you. May he allow his face to shine upon you, sister, and give you peace. May God, good night. It's been a pleasure. You have a blessed night tonight, and keep me in your thoughts and prayers, and I will do the same here.
I'm sorry.
Ashe, you be blessed and take care of yourself, all right? Talk to me if you ever need me. Give me a text or whatever. I'm always on Facebook or whatever. As long as you don't try to take my half a hamburger, we ain't going to have no problem. No, let me go.
I ain't going to take your hamburger.
you'll tell me, hey, look at that train coming over there, and I look around. Hey, where's my hamburger? You mean you had a hamburger? I didn't see it. There you go. All right, now, hey, be blessed now, Megan. Hey, take care now, all right? Okay, all right, bye-bye.